to Just Drive Radio, www.justdriveradio.com. Hey, Jill.
Good morning or good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is. Whatever day of the week this is. Hi, Fiona.
Hey, Jill. I have another, we've done a Churchill, who's one of my favorite people to quote. He's a great statesman in England, if people are not sure about who he was. And he has always had really interesting quotes about success and failure. And in this one, he says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts.
Wow, that's a great quote. And, of course, he embodies that quote.
Yes, because he had so many, I mean, if people didn't know, he was born in Blenheim Palace from, was his father an earl or a duke? I can't remember.
I cannot remember, but part of the Marlborough family.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he, you know, in his older years, he, as Prime Minister of Great Britain, he got England, the United Kingdom, through World War II, under the most horrific odds. So, there are stories about choices that he had to make, and you know, he was remarkable. He talk about courage when he understood what some of the consequences could be, but he stayed true to his vision for the people of Great Britain. And then, of course, after the war was over and they had the election for the prime minister, he wasn't elected. So he knew all about failure, and he also knows about success.
Yes, and he had. My guess is because he was elderly. He was an interesting guy because he smoked and he drank and he was seriously overweight. And he lived, I think, to what, 87, 92, something like that. He was just such a force of nature himself. He's a very interesting.
And a great wit. Oh, a great wit.
And a painter, too. I mean, he really loved nature, too.
Yeah, and after the Second World War, he started devoting his attention to painting. And there is a man who's known it all, so that's a brilliant quote, and I'm glad it comes from him, because there's a lot to be said about success and failure.
Yeah, I think one of the things when he says success is not permanent, or whatever it was that he said, let me have a look at this again, success is not final, and failure is not fatal. Because even actually, is it Borzos' name that owns Amazon? He said at one stage, even at some stage, Amazon will fail, all businesses do. And I think that success is not final, because if we think of many of the stores, even like Sears and some of the really Woolworths in Australia, I don't know whether you had it here, there were so many places, although Woolworths is still in Australia actually, but there were so many huge stores and so many famous people who actually were at the top of their game in a way, and then slowly it trickled down, especially actors and actresses, and singers. So I think we have to remember when we look at someone and see that they are the, you know, we're putting them up on a pedestal, they're there in a cycle of success, and it will change.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the older we get, we see the truth of that, because we can watch the cycles, you know. But I also feel so strongly that there's a wonderful thing about failure, because we can only grow from learning what went wrong.
Yes.
We can only work towards success from knowing what went wrong. And success, if we just have success, it's very hard to quantify what makes it successful or What makes us successful? Oh, people love me, so I'm successful. Well, they love you now.
Yes.
And then they'll love somebody else.
And the wind changes. I think Bob... Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bob was saying that in the business world, he was told when he was young, most people don't come into their truth. It's not everybody, because you get the Elon Musk and so forth, but come into their true business strength until they're in their 60s, because, and many of them have had several bankruptcies, several disasters, and they've learned so much through doing that. They become these powerful businessmen in their 60s. And I'm sure it varies around, but it's true. It's I think of it like a muscle. You know, when you have a muscle that you're exercising, it rips a little bit and it gets bigger and stronger. And I always think that similar thing about business and about just being successful.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's hard. I realize that I'm just sort of, you know, the graciousness about being older is the learning and the wisdom that we pick up along the way, which is why I love the fact that the elders, the abuelas and abuelos, the grandparents, the grandfathers, the grandmothers, are, you know, in so many cultures are sought after for wisdom. Yeah, I think it would be a wonderful idea if people have an elder around them to ask them what makes a success and what makes a failure, and talk to me about failures and successes, because there'll be a lot of wisdom that comes from the older people. Because success, you know, success and failure are both fleeting.
Yeah.
You know, because what makes a success is very hard to define. It's just the attitude of whatever's going on instantly at that moment in time. With failure, I always think of that as the failures are, as maybe the Lakota would say, it was like going on a medicine walk, gathering wisdom about something. And so there's always wisdom in failure. There's always wisdom in failure. Well, what happened? What did I do? Let's look at this, and so that we don't repeat that again, make something better. And in all, when you think of all the wonderful inventions that were made, there were so many failures before they were successful.
That is so true.
And in each of these inventions, it wasn't, they didn't stop it. We failed. Okay, well, that can't be done. No, they continued. They continued. They had the courage, as Churchill says, to continue. That's where life is. It is the courage to continue. And not being hooked into what is a success and what is a failure. It's the courage to continue.
That is so true. And I also think when we think of it, though, that is that what is success? Is success for one person would be failure for the other, and vice versa as far as failure goes.
Exactly. It's the same thing as one man's terrorist is another man's revolutionary, freedom fighter. You know, other ways. But so what to one person would be a success is wouldn't be seen as a success to somebody else.
There's many layers of failure and success as well. It's like, is it a spiritual failure? Is it a spiritual success? Is it a monetary failure? Is it a monetary? There's lots of different aspects, aren't there?
Yeah. And here's another. It reminds me of a guy I met, a distant relative by marriage, a while ago, who'd become, what do you call it when you shut yourself in your house and you won't allow anybody over? A recluse, really. Wouldn't talk to family or anything. And we were back east visiting family and asked about him. They said, oh, no, he's a wreck. Nobody's been in touch with him for years. So my husband and I went over to the house, knocked on the door, and went in to visit with him. And he admitted to me, his big failure, he said, and this was a failure, that something that he'd always wanted to do was to be on the radio talking about something or singing. I can't remember now. It was so long ago. And he came all the way to Los Angeles. And when he came to the stage or the place where he was to speak into the microphone, he panicked and ran away. And then eventually became a recluse. And I said, well, I thought that, and I said to him, well, that was a very brave thing for you to do. And he looked at me and said, what? And I said, well, consider it. You don't have the temperament it's not in your nature to be able to withstand what you have to go through. And somehow you knew that, and you had the strength to walk away from it. Because having met him, I realized with all the hyperbole that goes on with being a well-known entity in Hollywood is, you know, all of this, the success, the failure, the opinions, the crushingness of having put somebody on a pedestal and then taking them down. There's such a dreadful crushingness in the taking them down from the pedestal, and this man would never have survived it. But when, you know, when saying to him, no, you were listening to your instinct and you had the courage to do this, it was amazing the change in his demeanor at that time. Like, what, I wasn't a failure? I said, no, what you just didn't realize is that you were listening internally to yourself. And it was like, this wouldn't be good for you. As much as you want to do it, find another way to express it rather than put yourself through something.
I
really believe in that. When we,
what do you consider to be success, and why do you consider it successful? So, is somebody successful when they become super wealthy? Is somebody successful when they're in the public eye? Successful, or what makes success for you? Because for some people, it would be simply being able to, you know, they feel successful when they can get enough food for their kids. You know, it's varied. And I think, unfortunately, success has been very much influenced by the media in the last, you know, 60
years.
You're
so right. You're so right. The first time I realized that success is determined by the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual can term. Now, so I was raised in the United States, and success in the United States was to be successful earning money, basically. It wasn't about how smart you are. It was about earning enough to do something and then earning more to do something. And when I realized that there were other values of success was when I first, in 1963, moved to England, when they still had ration cards and ration tags on some of the clothes. And I realized that success for them, having been through this two atrocious wars on their land, that success for them was to be home with the family, have a job so that you could put food on the table, and that was a success. That was being successful. And the newspapers that would come out 5 or 6 times a day, new updates of papers, so everybody knew what was going on all over the world, and they would talk about it. That was success, and I was so moved by that. I was so moved by that. If that probably had the biggest influence of my life at the age of 18 up to that time, was seeing that that's what success was for them, whereas in our country, success was something entirely different, and it was all about power and money.
So, Jill, the question I have for you is, you kind of rocketed into the acting world, and you were successful. I'm not sure. Did you feel successful?
Well, you hit upon, you know, a point. I was successful if you looked at what I wanted what I thought success was to be. And I reckon, looking back after all these years, that I wanted to be loved and appreciated and had attention paid to me, because I didn't have that as a child. So that's what I wanted. And of course, as soon as I got it, I didn't like the spotlight on me. I really didn't. It was horrendous. So I realized that everything that I thought that would be make me successful, I got what I thought would make me successful, but it was terrible. It wasn't what I wanted. No, and it took years to work on my belief in myself, to have the courage that Winston Churchill talks about, to walk away from that when everybody was saying, and I've done this several times in things that I've been successful at, why did you walk away? Well, I got to a point where it worked, and then I had to move on because it wasn't what success was. Now, for me, what success is to have food on the table, to be surrounded by people I love, and to have peace and be in nature and quiet. And like right now, I just am overwhelmed by the bird song that's outside our cabin here, which is so beautiful. That makes me so happy. So I think the success for me was trying to find happiness. And I thought, if I had attention, if I had glamour, if I had adoration, jobs and money, that would make me happy. That would make me successful. And I was so lucky, discovered that really early on, that this was not what I wanted.
That's absolutely true. And did you have any failures that you could think of?
Oh, golly, what have I not had a failure? Well, I think the last movie I was in was a tremendous failure. I did my best with it, but I don't like to advertise it. My son loves to advertise it because he loves to tease me all the time. He bought a huge poster of it and hung it over my bald bed, which I then removed, but put in the garage, and then he took it out and put it somewhere else.
It's so funny.
I know. He loves to tease me about this wonderful failure. But it was a failure of the movie. I feel like I absolutely did my best with what I had. It got me to Egypt, which had a phenomenal effect in my life. And because of that failure, say in this terrible movie I was in, I got to sit as the sun was setting by the pyramids and realize at that moment, and I'm not sure I would have had it anywhere else in the world, that I was doing the wrong thing. I would rather, instead of living a life making movies about other people's lives, I'd rather live a life that somebody would want to make a movie out of. And right then and there, I realized, okay, this is so wrong, and I was so happy to end it, you know. But, you know, the failure was, you know, if there was a failure, I walked out on the lowest point of my career, which was a huge failure. But, hey, you know, I'm still out of it.
But you learned a huge amount and expanded enormously from that experience and got a lot stronger as well. And you had a clearer vision into it, I think. I mean, you were able to see both success and failure. And I think that's a huge thing, because we put so much importance on success and failure, and again, it happens. We all see it with the actresses and actors, and particularly with singers.
Yep.
So many singers. Bob managed the singer a long time ago. Who had two number one, one number one, and one in the top 10, and that was it. really, this person was not a one-hit wonder, but they were, had everything going for them, as beautiful as they could be. She's very beautiful, had an incredible voice, great presence. That was it. There was one, and then there were a lot of families.
And that reminds... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
And that reminds me of a famous model back in the 60s in London, Jean Shrimpton, who was just breathtakingly beautiful, absolutely. And it embodied the age that we were in the 60s. She was just gorgeous. And all the attention and all the modeling jobs, she couldn't take it. It didn't make her happy at all. And she moved, and I believe it was to a farm in Cornwall, and she's still there on the farm in Cornwall as happy as anything.
So when we say, I think, you know, success is something that a lot of people aspire to, whatever you say about it.
Sorry, the dogs are
here.
Sorry, it's the dogs were all around me, and somebody came up to the front door, so sorry about
that. We're at home like everybody, and we've always got animals around us anyway. So the failure is the hardest thing, because when we feel like we failed, we feel like we failed personally, as opposed to failing in something we've done. It's very much like when children are small and they do something that you don't like, it is important to say, I don't like what you did, and I want to, you know, talk about that, but I still love you. I still love you. So it's important that we separate failure from who we are, because most
That's
people...
That's really important. That's
when
we
have a failure, we personally... And our person, you know, as a person has failed, as opposed to just what we've done.
Yeah, that's so important. I love you, and I really don't like what you did.
Yes.
You know.
And that is a big deal with parents, with children, because quite often children, when they get the parents say something that they don't like, that the child's done, the children feel like they failed and they're not good people.
I think that's part of what was wrong with my upbringing, or my childhood, which made me want to crave for love and attention and admiration and all the stuff I never had. But it really wasn't what was for me. So.
No, and it made you an incredible person because it gave you a lot of consciousness. So. I think if we look at success and ask ourselves, what is success for me and why? And then almost all of us, I think everybody's had some failures, whatever it is, whether it's relationships or whatever it is that we consider a failure. And then just say, I need to separate out who I am from what happened. And always, and that is such a huge deal, because we do tend that when we think that when we failed, I'm saying it six times.
Yeah, I think what you said, that asking the question to me, what is success and why? I think the and why would that, why do I think that is a success? I think the pondering that, as I like to say, ponder that, investigate that, you might change your mind to a certain degree on some aspects and be able to... rethink things, because I think that, and why is that, you know?
Mm-hmm. There we go. And I mean, it's just success and failure can be something as simple as you think you didn't stick to a diet, as huge as a bankruptcy or a breakup in a relationship. It can be any of the things, but again, we want to separate
threading a needle.
Yes, you couldn't thread that down needle.
And how many times do you have to try to thread that needle before you thread the needle?
Yes, absolutely. So we've been talking about success
and failure.
Yeah, and again, Winston Churchill, I think, had a huge amount of both. He was one of the most successful people in the world, came from one of the most successful families in the world. And then he had some pretty classic and huge crashes. So he is somebody
who stuck through it all along and saved Europe.
Absolutely. And so he says again, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So this is Janet's Tribe Radio, www.janettribe.com.
Your home on planet Earth.